Good afternoon and welcome everyone. Today is Monday, April 17th, 2017. General discussion of the Board of Commissioners. Item number one is discussion on marijuana processing in commercial zones. We've got Ms. Schmelzer, and she's brought this issue to us before, and at the time I did not remember, given that it was over a year ago. And Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner Walker was the liaison to the community development, or at that time it was just planning department, I think. So I've read the minutes from then, and I kind of feel like I understand a little bit more. And you were not the director at that time. You have not been hired. And so we were going off a recommendation of a previous planning director. So what I've read by your report and your recommendation is to rescind previously adopted Order 2016-003 that we adopted last year, or I adopted, the previous board adopted on February 3rd. At last week's meeting, we had a discussion about this, and my recollection, and I had the ladies listen to the tape, my recommendation was that we try to amend or fix whatever the board had already approved. And at that time, I was under the impression that we had 14 pending applications. Relevant to this previously adopted order for clarification of citing like use as meat processing to be treated the same for marijuana processing, you have 7 in commercial or rural commercial zone, community commercial and rural commercial zone. So really we're just talking about 7, not 14.
Correct.
7 that you're recommending would be grandfathered, but here and after not allowing any more. You do have a provision within the code for building and safety to require a annual safety fire inspection.
There's means through the fire code that the state fire marshals be required to follow through on the maintenance. We don't do anything with maintenance, but in our plan review for occupancy of it, we're going to expect the client to provide us that information from the fire marshals that they do that.
We've heard that the fire marshal doesn't want to do those things, so I think we need to send a letter to the state. I'm happy to do so, and if we go forward in that respect, that we get, you know, historic service levels that we had been achieving under the previous fire marshal. And I'm not really sure what else, I don't know what else they do, but that sounds like something that the fire marshal is the local expert on, and historically has provided that service for the county and probably should going forward.
And he can request that they go to a third-party agency.
Absolutely.
To get those services taken care of.
Right.
But he's the one with the oversight on
and authority to do so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My recommendation is that I think that you guys already have the provision in the code. The order just gave direction to cite it as a similar use.
That's exactly right.
And from what I've read with what your memo, not dated, Ms. Schmelzer, it's on the 17th, which is today, says that there is a, to serve nearby residents and the traveling public, meet the general needs of the residents in the Merlin North Valley community. You don't do that by strictly processing alone. And so if I can go back to the intent of all elements of meat processing or any other, there needs to be a local retail component to this in a commercial zone. And so I can see that being a stipulated requirement of any processor who's looking to try to achieve a processing application in this area, in this zone. You're absolutely right on every other point you were making. I don't want to rescind something where you've already got 7 ducks on a pond and it's grandfathered in with such a shortcoming of not providing for serving the local residents, as all commercial zones, you know, have in that. That's the intent. And so I don't think we've done necessarily anything wrong that we couldn't correct by requiring that. And some of those may just say, okay, so we'll put in a retail component to our processing, or we won't do it in that zone at all. We'll go and try to find something in industrial or agriculture.
If I may, and I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly where I read it. I believe it's an OLCC rule that you cannot have processing and retail in the same, on the same property. So
we need to probably figure that out.
OLCC
and that very well could be. And so they're opposing positions. I don't like grandfathered things on the books that are non-conforming uses. Josephine County is full of non-conforming uses, and it really makes the code, the zoning, it's messy.
Have the 14 applied for permits?
Yes, so we have 14.
Okay, if I read this as, for those on commercially zoned land that have already applied for approval, or have been given approval, they would become grandfathered and non-conforming use. They would remain as is until the purpose of change of the use. And you said there's 14 that have applied, and it's only hooked up to 7, or the others, it's only on commercial?
So in a 2-week period, we got 14 applications. Half of those are on commercial properties. So it's those half that were really...
Okay, where are the other 14? On industrial?
Industrial, yes.
And ag.
Farm,
yes.
Farm.
We don't. All right, so that, those ones are good.
They're the only ones. Half of them are on the commercial business. They're the only ones affected.
7 are the conflicting elements, and we haven't gotten into addressing the combustibility of the processing stuff. I'd like to look at the code and say, what are those already? You know, if ag if meat processing is on there, there's a list of things that are already processing kind of focused. What are those things, and do any of those have challenges with combustible gases or anything else? And my examples were poor because I was just going off the top of my head about what do I see in commercial retail zones. But you're right, those gas distributors are not, they're not utilizing it in any way for processing. It's just, it's a product, like on a shelf.
I think we've had enough examples of, I think Commissioner Morgan brought up down there in the Royal View or Royal Quarter, whatever it is, that blew that trailer house up, and there have been numerous examples of that all over the valley. And I don't like that in commercials. And like I said, we had a meth lab right up there in the industrial complex I was in, and they took out all the stuff. We asked the DEA, they said, well, that stuff that is, that all the time. I said, you mix 3 of those chemicals out there, and you will blow Walmart flat with the ground, and that's quite a ways away. That there would be nothing on this portion of town. They would blow Elmer's flat with the ground, Sherry's, Winko wasn't there, but it would wipe it out. That's how dangerous some of this stuff can be. And I don't know the level of that danger.
As far as the processing and extraction process for marijuana, under our building codes, we can get them safe in that structure. In whatever zone they're in, we can get them there. It's highly volatile, it's flammable, it's, there's hazards to the storage of the products, LP, butane, alcohol, but we can get them within the code. We have a grasp on what we have to do to get the facility to meet all the standards in the building code, and it's also, in the building code, it falls under alternate methods of construction. So it's a little outside the code, but it gives the building official the opportunity to look to all the aspects of it to see if they meet the intent of the code. If there is one within a structure, we can make sure they are safe.
Because I guess we have a natural gas furnace somewhere in this building, and it could do the same thing if it leaked in the middle of the night, somebody left. Answer the phone, you could blow this place flat too. So
the big issue has been the maintenance and the inspection, and because this extraction equipment has to be maintained. It has to be maintained like every few months. They have to change O-rings, and then once a year they have to rebuild the whole, several of them, they have to rebuild them completely by the manufacturer and start the process over.
And that's the part that we don't have authority over.
So we have Illinois Valley, we have Williams, and we have Wolf Creek, and those are covered areas, so the fire chiefs in those areas can make the determination whether they have the facility go to an outside source, third party, and they oversee all the inspections, and they provide that to the captain, the chief, whoever, and the state fire marshal for the Maryland area will have the authority, should have the authority, to make these facilities find someone to do their services for.
Do we have a limit on only where there's a fire agency encouraged?
Not the way that Mark... So Mark found an area that would say he can require that as part of their certificate of occupancy, and if they don't have coverage, they're just going to have to contract with somebody to do it.
But we don't even have anyone contracting to do that at this time for the county. That was
right.
Part of the issue of the state part of Marshall's board came, or the system came to us.
Right. They could hire a private firm, though, or contract with one of the other fire agencies to actually do the inspection.
And who monitors to see that they're in compliance, and if they don't, what then?
That would be the state fire marshal. So it would really be for the Merlin area. It'd be Mike Shaw who would have to oversee that. When we spoke to Mike, he basically was saying he didn't have time to do those kinds of inspections and all. But he should have time, and under his authority, I think he's responsible to make sure that these facilities are cared for. So if they have to go to an outside third party, which they could hire Rural Metro or Inland Fire, whoever's certified to do those inspections, they can go directly there and hire them. There's also anybody that does hood suppression systems in restaurants, they have third-party guys or spray booths and auto body shops. They have third-party people that come in and inspect those systems, and these facilities can do exactly the same thing with the oversight of the state fire department.
We feel that we have the safety part addressed with this, what we have in here, that section that Mark found. It is the, so the safety part we think is addressed. We still have the use concern that you're putting industrial uses in a commercial area and adding to the decay of a commercial area. Commercial areas are reserved for retail and services and foot traffic. And yeah, we have 7 of them out there just in a short period. And I understand, Commissioner, not wanting to have grandfathered ones. I think we're better off saying, okay, we messed up on these 7, but moving forward, we're not going to have any more commercial areas.
Well, I'm not sure you messed up. I mean, I think the board's previous intent was to try to provide that dual opportunity so people didn't have to have multiple facilities. They could process and they could do retail all in the same one-stop shop. And if OLCC is saying you can't do both, then there isn't a problem that we can solve in allowing it to happen in a commercial zone. So by sheer virtue that you can't facilitate the foot traffic and the original intent of what a commercial zone is, I mean, looking at the code the way it is, they're not compliant. I don't believe you can approve them if they don't have a local serve nearby residents and the traveling public. I mean, if these are excerpts from your code, our code, I don't see how you're able to approve them anyway if they don't have that component. If OLCC is restricting them that you can process over here, but you can't do retail of the same, you know, whatever your product is.
Because the retail is what allows them in a commercial zone.
Yeah, it's no different than Bradley Putter right down there on 6th Street. He's manufacturing it and can't have any more than 25, I don't know, is some sort of square footage of his retail commercial establishment as production. And so he's got that in the back. He's got it, you know, you can look at it, glass and stuff. But he couldn't just do that manufacturing deal. It has to have that retail component. So if OLCC is saying no to that, but I could see a Taylor Sausage processing, you know, meat packing in a commercial zone and doing retail.
So
they can't just do a processing in a commercial zone.
Well, to me, processing doesn't necessarily cover it. It's, I mean, if they're using the gases and all, that's the piece. You know, there's not the safety concern.
Safety concern, she says, is addressed by
the fire marshal. To make that safe, just like having a gas in your home. You make sure it doesn't leak, it's perfectly safe type thing.
We're looking at the structures strictly through.
And that safety element exists whether or not it's in a commercial zone, an EFU, an industrial. You're going to have to meet that burden and threshold anyway.
So what do you think the pushback, well, I probably have to ask legal, what's the pushback on if we go to the 7 people and say, sorry, you know, the OLCC says you can't do this and we can't issue you a permit?
I don't know if OLCC says that. What I will say, you know, we'd have to check those rules, but what I would say is we have certain zoning districts that say processing is allowed provided 25% of the, you have 25% retail sales. Okay? That's not what it says in this zone.
Community, commercial, then how can it be, how can it be that its intent is to serve nearby residents and traveling public?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it should be allowed there at all.
Any processing?
No processing.
Well, then that's not the issue of marijuana. And then we're segregating out one section. Because if meat processing is allowed...
Meat packaging is allowed.
Meat processing is what it says. And I think that we made a relative assumption.
Yeah, it says meat packing. And when you look at the state rules on meat packing, basically you're cutting meat and you're putting it in paper. And you're labeling it.
The meat outfit, the outfit out on Union Avenue.
Cartwrights.
Yeah, Cartwrights. They, you know, they...
They're doing everything there.
They have a retail...
They do it all.
They do it all.
They
have a retail
store there.
I mean, they have... It's not packaged. They have raw hamburgers.
That's the intent of the code, in my understanding, is that you're not going to do just processing. You're going to have a retail
element. Either.
So there's... So we look at all the uses. There's... Retail sales are one use that's allowed. And you keep going down the line.
Where is that?
I don't have the full code with me right now. But when you look at the commercial uses, it'll say retail sales, office, service stations, whatever. And it lists flat out retail sales. It doesn't allow processing at all in a commercial zone.
But it doesn't.
The code does not allow processing.
I need to see it. I don't want to.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Because I can't imagine that our rural commercial zones is going to be more restrictive than Grants Pass's commercial zone of Cartwrights. There, I've taken my 4-H purchases. Have gone right to Cartwrights from Alpine's farm kill stand, and they're processing it up all the way from the beginning.
They probably allow slaughterhouses.
It's not a slaughterhouse. It's not a slaughterhouse. It's a processing.
You know, we have to look at what's in our code, and there are some areas where you can have processing and retail together. That's in an industrial zone, but the retail is limited to 25%. And then when you look at the commercial zone, there's no processing. But there is retail sales, of course. And with our code...
You're saying there's packaging, but not processing.
Well, technically, the processing isn't necessarily the safety concern. It's the extraction process, correct?
Well, it's defined as... I'm not exactly sure how to say that.
The
processing under OLCC is directly related to the extraction of the product.
Okay, so they're using the word differently than we're using
other ways. Yeah, so it took me a little while to get a grasp on that too. There's production, which is the growing, the trimming, the packaging, the, you know, the retail type sales. Then you have processing, and the processing is taking that product and using alcohol or butane or any other flavor they want to put on there and extracting material from it, changing it from...
You didn't say it's meat packaging. We said marijuana processing is similar to meat processing and packaging as listed in the RLDC 62.020.C.
Your order is 33. Oh, and then when you go down to what's ordered, it says marijuana processing operations shall be ruled a similar use to meat packing in the commercial zones in Josephine County, subject to all applicable provisions of the Josephine County Ruling Development Code. I'm going to take a step back further from here, and I'm just going to say the code specifically says if that use is allowed somewhere else, that's where it goes. And in our code does say it's allowed somewhere else. It says it's allowed in EFU and industrial zones. That's where it's supposed to be happening. So this should, in my mind, should not have even been a conversation.
Back then.
Back then.
Exactly. And it's already been signed, so.
Yep. So that's why we're stuck with it and discussing it today. There was, yeah, the quote is very clear. If it's allowed somewhere else, that's the only place it can happen, which is in our county if you're in industrial. And that's the only place we should be allowing processing.
And that's why you recommend your recommendation to
rescind the
rescind
order.
This one rather than amend it.
Yes.
I'm not asking for an amendment. I think it there's an element of what I think the intent of a commercial and rural, a community commercial and rural commercial code to have that retail element of it. And if there isn't a way to accommodate that under OLCC's rules, that there's going to be a retail component to your commercial processing in commercial zone, then you can't do it there.
We, you know, and the other thing is we can't enforce the OLCC rules, so we have to look at our rules. And so just to answer your question on the rural commercial zone.
Yeah, I know that. It's like a default. You've put out a code that says, it doesn't matter. It's we can permit it all we want. OLCC won't permit it. Okay, so you can't do it. Those are the rules.
But our code doesn't really permit it. It's just this order that's permitting it.
Does
that mean
we have the two words here? We have production and we have processing. And when I originally was starting on all this marijuana stuff, processing seemed like, oh, you package it, you cut it, not under their rules. And so they look at production and they have processing. Processing is really strictly the extraction side of what they do with marijuana. Processing, including baking cookies and things like that. But the.
Is that considered processing?
I believe it's considered processing when you get into the commercial kitchen type.
When you actually look at the production side, the production is really closer to the meat packing because production is cutting, putting it in a package, and putting a label on it. So marijuana production is really what is similar.
Where does it say that that's what production is? Because I think my understanding of production is you're going to put a plant in the ground and you're going to grow it.
And
you're
going
to produce produce. That's not what Ms. Melcher just said.
No, but that's how it all
that kind of stuff doesn't have to happen on a farm.
You have production, you have growth, you have production according to through OLCC. The trimming, the drying is all production. The packaging is production.
They're going to allow processing and retail together. I'm pretty sure they are because we have that one in that industrial one, Odin Murphy. Kit Doyle's, remember? He was processing and he had to have some retail. And we'll see let him do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will confirm that. But he is illegal still.
Yeah, I don't think he's been approved.
He's still under violation of this. So. I will find that. I just most recently read that.
The intent of the board before went the text amendment is we included production, which I understood to be growing predominantly, able to be done in industrial zone land. Because before, it's precluded. You could not produce agricultural commodities in industrial because I think it wasn't deemed as the best and highest use. And so we allow it now, and we did a text amendment to do so. And there's an example of where EFU is your predominant place of where you should be doing it, your zone dedicated to it, but just because it's there doesn't mean you can't do it on industrial now or even residential. You can grow for commercial and residential. So I don't know that necessarily equates.
Well, we've already got a great big problem out in rural America with I built my dream home and now I have a grow on three different sides of me. And yeah, it's perfectly legal. And then now I build my building and I've got a really nice facility and everything. And I'm selling Duralast roofing and now I'm surrounded by grows in industrial all the way around me. I've got marijuana grows in every corner of the industrial park. Because it's allowed in industrial.
So industrial zone, we had this discussion, is the place that you should be able to do anything you can't do anywhere else. So when we had the rock and flow conversation,
things in EFU.
So why are grows allowed in industrial? Yeah. I guess is the question I would have, because we're using up industrial land that is.
We've got hundreds of acres of fallow industrial land that hasn't been in what? Our argument of in. Who are we to say that, no, you have to sit on that industrial land for another 20 years before you can figure out somebody else. But there's people who want to buy it right now. They want to put up a greenhouse and they bring in all their soil and they've got water. Well, no, you can't rent it out right now.
I think there's two different sides to that coin, and we can't stand it on edge. Both of you make very good, valid points.
Well, that text amendment has been done, so the board can address that in the future. Really, what's on the table right now is this order, and there's a recommendation to rescind it. And I don't know that that's necessarily necessary to achieve to reduce the conflict here. If that's the case, I think ours is not. I can say, having been on that board that approved this, my intent wasn't that it would displace any other commercial type of activity that didn't have like a retail component to it. But I really feel like that's the nexus. If OLCC does not allow processing and retail, then there you go. But I really think we should know one way or the other.
That's the question I have.
Yeah, I know, just thinking of the Kit Doyle one, that they allow the processing on the same property as the retail. I think if the intent was to require retail, then at the very least it should be amended to say that.
Well, it feels as though it was just trying to clarify that this would be treated like meat packaging or whatever else you want to say. And does meat packaging require a retail element in commercial zone? It should.
No, it says just meat processing and packing.
No, but what do any of those require? Do they have to have a component of a retail element in order to be done in a commercial zone? I mean, it feels as though when you have your bullet points on this first page that it's got to serve nearby residents and traveling public and meet the general needs of the residents. Feels like that's the whole point of a commercial zone. And if you're just processing for your own and you don't have that need to be in that location, then you don't fit that zone.
I agree, and that's why I think they shouldn't be in that zone. Because
Julie, if you're not tracking what I'm saying on the idea that they have to have that retail component, they can process meat packaging or whatever, but they've got to have that retail element there, where they don't conform to what I think the commercial intent, the commercial zone is. That's
right.
A big deal.
And I agree that the intent is to have retailer service in these commercial zones. That is the intent. That's what we want. Because this doesn't require that retail component, and I understand what you're saying too, Commissioner.
This order isn't going to require anything. It was clarifying the code saying that processing of marijuana is similar to meat packing. That's all that order did. Is make a clarification so that the director wasn't having to make a decision application by application for marijuana processing. That's, if you read the order, that's exactly what it says. So it should go back to meat packaging or whatever else is in the code for commercial. And is there an intent in the code to require any one of those other uses to have a retail component to it? Then there you go. That's the answer. That each of these applications for processing has to have that same burden of proof and threshold. And if you're saying no, well then...
Well, what I'm saying is the code is very clear that if you want to have marijuana processing, this is where it goes. It goes in agriculture or industrial. The code is very clear. Agricultural processing is allowed in two zones. Period. But then...
Then this order came by.
Then this order came by
and made it bigger and allowed it into commercial zones.
So one
and two actually contradict each other.
You're telling me that Cartwrights couldn't relocate to Merlin and do an exact replica of what they're doing?
I don't know what the city codes say.
Have you been to Cartwrights? they process all the way from bringing a hog from Alpine and having it done all the way up to hamburger or pork chops in the cooler, in the case, and you can go buy it.
And I don't know what the city code says. I know that in the county where we allow marijuana, it's a place where we allow the agriculture processing is where we allow marijuana processing, which is the industrial and the agricultural area.
So is meat packaging considered agriculture?
Meat packaging is actually called out separate. It's not called agriculture because it's called out separately as in, you know, for instance, if we had something that said specifically marijuana processing and that was called out someplace, then that's exactly where it would be allowed, but that's not what we have. So what we have is, as we know, the state said wherever you allow agriculture, you're going to allow marijuana. So then we look at and say, okay, where do we allow agricultural processing? We allow it in two areas.
So you're telling me meat packaging processing, what Cartwright's is doing. I'm trying to make this on a logical...
The problem is that it was such a close question back then, even before this order was entered. That's why Dennis wanted the order.
Yeah.
And so this is exactly the discussion Luba would theoretically be having if we were to turn down an application and then the applicant were to go forward and say, but it's similar. It's similar to meatpacking.
That's why we put it in here.
Right. So he was looking for that.
Well,
but I'm just saying that's why there's reasonable minds are disagreeing on this. That's
right.
My okay. take on it. Yeah. Thank
you. So staff recommendation is to rescind the order. I personally don't think meat packaging and marijuana extraction have anything similar in common. So
the idea was that that's the most extreme element of agricultural processing. And so if that were allowed as an agricultural processing, then this marijuana processing would be very similar in that extreme perspective. It's not like they're the same. That's not the point. It's that they're at that same level of, if you can allow that, you ought to be able to allow ag processing.
I don't see it as ag at the point that it becomes extraction and processing. It's at that point it's now industrial because they're doing components and chemicals and different stuff like that, but it's no longer ag. It's not just straight using a plant, doing something with a plant. It's bringing in all this other elements that...
It was wine or beer making.
The intent of the code for commercial is having a retail element for foot traffic. So regardless of whether you're selling hot dogs, completely packaged and everything, and then in the back, and you're just bringing them in the back door and putting them in your meat case to sell them, or you're bringing the raw materials in the back and grinding it up, putting it in the skins, and then selling them, that is processing, packaging, or whatever you want to call it, and then retail. And in the marijuana side, we're going to, because the key is, does the state allow the two to be on the same property, we have to determine that. But as far as saying, okay, we're going to have all just strictly processing, that belongs in an industrial thing, the way I read it, industrial only.
Industrial and agriculture.
But then if you're going to add the dispensary to it, then that really makes it commercial. But if I'm out in Ballinger Industrial Park and I'm producing sheet metal and selling it in a showroom, I'm allowed to do that in industrial, correct?
Less than 25%.
Unless it's a, yeah.
Up to 25%. So... I question it. It doesn't seem like it's too difficult to say that it's not, but the genie's out of the bottle on these seven deals. That's the one that bothers me.
And there may be other ones. Those were just, we just had this big rash of them that we stopped and said, wait a minute, we got to look at these. What's going on? Because otherwise, when they're one at a time.
You're not holding up all 14, are you?
No.
Because the other seven.
They're
good to go. There's
here.
Only seven that we're talking about.
Right.
And seven, and some of those have already gone through the site plan review process. You know, we have processors, we have dispensaries. So it is, in my mind, if the board wants to say you can only have processing in a commercial zone provided you have a dispensary associated with it, That's fine. That brings in that retail component, but that's what it needs to say.
I think your code says that. That you've got to have a retail. I mean, look at that list of anything else that was going to be in there. And how can you come and say that this is a problem because it's marijuana processing? Safety isn't the issue.
We're saying any processing.
Exactly.
We're saying, the board had called out marijuana processing. Ours talks just extraction and processing in general for other things, such as lavender, or the next thing that comes along.
I don't care what they're processing. They need to have what I read as a retail component to being in a commercial zone.
And if that's the board's intention, that's fine. Give us that in writing, because you've got...
I'm really in your code.
We have that already. The commercial zone does have
separate use would be retail. You could have retail sales or dispensary as a separate use.
I'm not talking marijuana. I'm talking commercial zone. Does commercial zone require retail?
What I read here is it serves residents and traveling public, meet the general needs of the residents. Processing exclusively for wholesale market distribution has nothing to do with the local North Valley... Merlin North Valley in community. I don't know that there's more to this code that should be. I mean, that's a shortcoming in the code. I want to go back to what the order did. The order just clarified that says that processing of marijuana can be very similar to processing of other kinds of things in a commercial zone. That doesn't say that you don't have to conform with every other element to the commercial, community commercial, and rural commercial zone requirements. Doesn't abrogate those other things, and I'd say I read a retail. You've got to, how are you meeting this burden to do these other two things? And anybody who comes, regardless of whether or not
it's like
marijuana.
That's like saying any one of these uses must have a retail component.
Yeah.
Such as a...
I don't know, I haven't read the list.
Yeah, you know... And again, we're fine with that as long as we have clear written direction on the board. Because
isn't that your objection?
I thought that's the definition of commercial zone.
I thought your objection was that the processing was taking the commute that induct that zone and degrading it. And it references, you know, theft and challenging criminal activity because it's getting into more of an industrial type of a deal. I mean, I'm struggling how this one is, this order clarifying this is any different than letting. The code exists the way it is, allowing processing of any one of these other elements exist exclusively without a retail component.
Agricultural process, because the code is very clear, it says if it's allowed somewhere, that's where it goes. And the code says if you want to do agricultural processing, this is where you go. But then there was a board.
But you can do ag processing in industrial land.
Industrial and agriculture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's where...
Can you do ag processing in residential? You can get a home occupation and do...
Not for processing. No.
I have a question for legal. So you've got seven people that are already in the process, and then you call them up and say,
small-scale commercial use that are intended to serve nearby residents and travel public in that way and rural.
Yeah. How are you serving the nearby public and so on and so forth? And you say... And you're not. We can't prove that, and so therefore, we have to give you your permit back and your money back. Go find someplace else. What's the legal ramification? Do they just say no? I'm going to sue you for it because you already said so.
Okay, what do you mean? Already said so.
Some have already been approved.
Some of these applications have been approved.
Yeah, they've been through site plan review or have their development.
No going back on that in any realistic form.
But if I may. You issue the development permit for processing, so your code says processing includes retail. When I do plan review on these sites and say I need to see your retail of your structure, you were approved for processing, which includes
that sounds realistic.
Commercial retail.
Yeah, I think Simon's right that just because it's going in there because of the other thing, it doesn't exclude the main purpose of.
The commercial zone.
Exactly. It still has to keep that component, otherwise it's not allowed.
And it is allowed somewhere else, which goes back to your original statement. If it is allowed somewhere else, then it has to go there.
Right. And it is allowed somewhere else.
And if they're not doing retail in compliance, then it doesn't belong here.
I think that's my understanding of the intent. You see... Historically, places like Rogue Roasters, they roast their stuff right there and they retail it. They can't just roast it there. They can retail it there, but they can't just roast it. They have to have a retail. Cartwrights, Bradley Putters, all of these places that want that. I mean, there's gun manufacturers, two of them. Well, that one doesn't do retail, but that one does, the one at the south end of town. They manufacture and retail. That's what I would imagine a commercial, a rural commercial zone is absolutely appropriate for. But you got to retail it there, too. Otherwise, you need to go to those other zones. It's that dual purpose where you can't, it's not conducive to doing a lot of retail in an industrial zone. I don't, but you can in ag. You can have retail no more than 20% off farm of your retail element and your farm stand. But you can retail in EFU.
So if the seven say, we're going to process the oils and stuff, we're going to have a front counter where we can sell them. They're perfectly good to do that. They'd have to go get a registration through the state and OLCC in order to do that, correct?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Did they have to have
Mark's
got to
sign off on
that
operation.
For processing?
Pardon me?
Do they have to have OLCC approval, or is there any licensing or anything for processing?
If they're recreational. Otherwise, they're regulated through OMMP, and we can't ask them for licenses.
Gosh, that marijuana thing is just as
holy
as this. And
because of the HIPAA laws, the only stuff that we can ask is if it's recreational.
I can ask for the registry number on the OMMP because that's, they make that public notice, I can see posted on the name of the property. So before I issue a permit, I can say I need to see your registry number also.
You're talking for growing, right?
For OMMP.
Yeah.
For anything.
And they don't.
We haven't had any medical ones come through the door, so.
Okay. These seven are recreational.
These are all
OLCC. Easily enough research.
Okay. That's easy then.
I think you just leave the applications in place. If they don't have the recreational component by the time Mark does the inspection.
Retail.
Yes.
Division 91 or something. It's a law enforcement thing. The state put out. I think that's possibly where I read that, if it is in the OLCC rules.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some feedback on that. That's exactly correct. I'm going to do a whole bunch of work to change this one more time and find out that OLCC said you can't do it.
Well, I'll find out tonight.
OLCC is going to say you can have it. That's what they do.
This Oregon law that is.
But Wally, what did you say? You just made a comment about the ones that have been approved.
Yeah.
Go back and tell them they need retail?
No, don't go back and do anything. Just by the time he does his building inspection, if they aren't.
He asks them where their retail is.
Yeah, I'll say I need to see your retail.
Sure.
Does that make it sense?
Yes, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to go back to the planners that process those and say, you never told me I needed retail.
Yeah.
I've invested $3 million.
I don't understand how they get through, and that isn't a consideration that you're in a
commercial.
You're in a commercial zone. Every single one of these has a public, you know.
Well, and I like your thought on
beauty,
that because when
theater,
we
swimming pool, miniature golf. I mean, these people aren't putting things in for their own sake. It's the fact that it's a dual. I mean, that was the intent. That's the intent of a commercial zone. That there's.
You might find that if you tell them they can have a retail aspect to it, they go, "Wow, I can."
A lot of these places, you know, it's just a little counter that they'll go up to. You know, there's steel welding or manufacturing or something like that. They don't do a lot of business local, but they do some. Carries of Oregon. They do millions of dollars worth of stuff. They do $100,000 worth of business in Josephine County. That's not why they have their retail thing. That doesn't pay the freight.
No.
It's the manufacturing component in the back room. But they have their little counter and their little display. But I don't think there's even any one employee that's dedicated to the front counter. They're all doing something else for the manufacturing, you know, the wholesale.
Like I say, they may jump at it. You may say that five out of the seven go, gosh, I can have a retail component. Hey, you have a little front counter there. No big deal. And then two go, well, I wasn't going to get into that, but you know what, I might consider it. So it may be a non-starter. We're worried about the retaliation, the kickback, and there may not be any pushback.
Yeah.
The other thing is, these are just strictly development permits. We only, right now, Building Safety only has four that have actually been submitted with plans and everything they need. We're still working out those details. So
four of the seven we care about, or the other?
Four of the seven we care about.
Because
okay. The other are all industrial, we have four up there.
Right, but the planning staff has processed seven in the commercial, you know, and they're on their way to Mark. Mark got four of those seven already.
Okay.
So
I think my intent was, like last week, that we salvage this, that we make it make sense and live up to the intent of all of these other things.
I feel comfortable now that I and especially talking to you, that there's a safety aspect. I think that's where Commissioner Morgan and I were on the same page, is the safety aspect. Some of this stuff gets highly explosive. So, so is a can of gasoline on your garage to use for your lawnmower. And in the right condition, that could blow your whole house flat to the ground. Natural gas water heater that all of a sudden the dog bumps up against the kitchen planks and cracks it, blows the whole house flat to the ground. Kassan's out by the bowling alley. When I'm a little kid, gas leak under the house, the phone rang, blew about three people in the next week. So, you know, I'm more comfortable now with the fire, with the safety aspect than I was.
Yeah, anything to do with the building code, the building itself, you can be encroaching onto a property line, you have to have 30-foot setback for that type of work. There's ways to get there. We can get anybody in that structure safe, so 2-hour firewall, 3-hour firewall, whatever it takes, you know, to get the structure into compliance. So it really doesn't matter where it was. Okay.
Yeah, we were very concerned about that, and then Mark called that little section late last week, which is, it's still, you know, it's still growing.
Moving.
Everyone's still trying to adjust to it. So, if that's the board's intent, I'll explain to staff that when they review these from loan, they have to have a retail component or they can't.
It's really clear in reading through that list. There's
paragraph.
Nothing in there that doesn't have a retail component to it. The cabinet shop. You know, the guy's making cabinets in the back and he's doing it. You know, the door shops. Everybody's got that in their commercial zone. And then they're retailing it. So
yeah, I think the issue, and you know, that's how we apply it in the residential area too. So when somebody wants to put up just a greenhouse for marijuana on a vacant property, we say no. The purpose of the zone right here is residential. You have to have residential established before you can have an accessory building for marijuana.
I like that. So in our zone right now, for recreational permits, there's got to be a residential component to it. You can't have a bare piece of undeveloped R and then start growing on it without an established residence. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so we don't distinguish between recreational or medical. We say it's agriculture, right? So we say the intent of that zone is residential. So you have to have a residential structure on that property before we can allow an accessory structure.
So residential dwelling on that property.
Yeah.
But so if
it can't be an accessory structure, there's
like
nothing to accessorize.
Correct. Now the difference is if they come out there and they just want to put marijuana with no buildings, that we can't stop. Because in that case, you know, because we're regulating accessory buildings in that case.
But we also wouldn't provide power to them, so a permit to put a service on that without, you know, a residential component to it.
Okay. So
for the intent to build one, right? I mean, if they needed the power to start working on it,
you'd
have to have the other stuff.
Yeah, and get the development permit and start moving forward with the process.
That sounds good.
Okay, so I will just explain to staff that we have to have that detail component to undermine the intent, the purpose and the intent.
I'll have an answer to that.
Great. Thank you.
I'm good.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Safety's good. Item number two is review of board's calendar in light of the time. What's everybody's schedule? How are we doing? You've got to go in 10 minutes. So let's do yours now. If the board would indulge, take item number four. So this has to do with an ongoing project that we've been working on for well over a year just to get to this point. So long story short is courts went to eCourt system. Everything's on their monitors now. When they redid it, They can't see the witness, the audience, because their monitors are in the way. So the court said, here's $100,000, go forth and redo the courtrooms. But if it costs more than that, the county's going to eat that section. We've whittled this down to where that doesn't happen anymore. But we've got the dates all set up, who's in charge of what. We will defend the work that's done. We will inherit the work that's done if the work isn't done correctly. Ryan is going to be the lead facilitator on it. We will put out the RFP for the courts to solicit a contractor and award that contract. We get the money and bill the state as the work is done. And there is an understanding that we're going to pause when we get close to $100,000. And if we can get more money to finish the project, that's great. If not, the project stops when the money runs out, and the state knows that. We went through this with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. And not
the original Oregon Judicial Department, ODD, contract number is now expired. So this is a new one taking this. This is going to be 160056 is taking the place of 150541. Paragraph B.
Sure sounds right.
He's exactly right, because that's when we were just going to do the design work and turn over.
Yeah, the original intent of this agreement was just to do the design contract, the design and architecture, which we did. It's completed.
And the county was off the hook thereafter.
We thought we were done.
Yeah.
And then BAS, Department of Administrative Services, said, we don't want to facilitate this project.
So they want to bring it.
They want us to do it.
Us to do it, us to pay for it, and then reimburse up to $100,000.
Yeah.
And will it be $100,000?
Yeah, our preliminary review, unofficial, was $95,000.
Not so close. And even if we had to go, even if it got to $110,000, we're going to inherit
it. Ryan's not for change orders.
It's not Ryan. He's not changing this. He's not leading it. He's only facilitating it. Courts. These are people's personal spaces. You can imagine that they're going to want change orders. The other thing is $95,000 proposed cost was not prevailing wage. So that changed it to about $105,000 is what we heard, but it could be higher than that. It is what it is, the number-wise, money-wise. We're not going to change. That could change if courts wants to change it, but we're not going to be required to make up the difference.
If it gets to $120,000, can we go back to the courts and say?
Well, when it gets to $90,000, we're going to ask the courts to make sure that there's, you've got this much to do it. It's going to cost $20,000,
$30,000. And we need to be there.
We won't be on the hook for it. We know where they live.
I'm okay with it.
It should be good to go. We've redlined it half a dozen times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I would like to bring this up under other tomorrow.
I think it's on there already.
Okay.
I think
on.
Yeah, maybe we. She did.
Oh, good.
She added it. So we saw that one coming.
The funeral office leader head of the district attorney is allowed to be elected in the county. He does not resign.
The Patridge scenario. That's another deal.
He's applying for an advisory budget position on one of the committees I'm on for the county as a resident of Josephine County. He's currently serving as a district attorney in Lake County.
Euless?
Yes.
Maybe sounds like a question for.
I can look into that.
Okay. Maybe one on the record. I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay. My meeting's at 5:30. I just now got the emails for the applicants.
Oh, is it today?
That's the reason I'm doing it.
Okay.
Sounds timely. There's a stepping up survey. I don't know what. Oh, that has to do with mental health in the jails.
Right.
It would be one of you.
So I'm liaison to mental health, you're liaison to corrections, community corrections in the jail. I probably can get the answers, but I don't know if you want to use that for experience.
You get the answers.
Okay.
Somebody, I think, I mean, there are a lot of people doing it, so I don't know that, you know, it's like, but we are probably a pretty influential, I mean, from a rubber meets the road kind of standpoint, where the rubber meets the road. I just wanted to bring that up, that I got it. Did we all get it? We all got it, right? Yeah. Review of, what did you have?
Actually, I think I already took the survey.
Instead of all three, you
said. I took it individually. Okay. I've already taken the survey.
Awesome. Well, then we've taken it. You took it for us, right?
I've taken the survey.
There we go.
Sounds like you. Thank you. Overachiever.
Sorry.
We forgot to give you your gold star, Lily. Don't do that again. Go ahead. Senate Bill 3, what?
387.
Okay.
Well, I've mentioned, I don't know if I've spoken to all three of you, but a couple of you at least. There's a bill in the works in the Senate, Senate Bill 387. And the reason it's of concern to us is it has to do with our insurance OEB group. It would allow a handful of school districts to join or get out of OEB at any will, in and out. And what that would do is it would cause instability in the pool and would therefore result in a higher rate.
Why are they asking for that discretion?
Because individually it may help them, but it would be at the expense of the rest of
everybody
the
else.
Pool.
Yeah. But they get to do it and nobody else gets to do it.
Yeah. And that would result in...
Are they
in
charter schools or something?
It's a Corvallis school district and I think Portland school district. So they're big school districts, which is why it would cause such a big influx in the rates.
They're asking to be able to go to anywhere they want to shop their insurance policy
and everybody else can.
Yes. Doesn't make sense. I can't see where anybody would ever say that.
They want their cake and eat it too.
Basically. And it would cost everyone else between 7 and 9% in their rates, which across the state would be tens of millions of dollars. It would potentially cost Josephine County $300,000.
So are you on the board of OEB?
Yes.
So I want to make sure that we're careful with that as well. If we address it, is there a conflict?
No, he has an advocacy ability as a board member.
Okay.
If he sees something that could be, you know, his obligation is to the benefit of the organization, and
yeah.
If he sees this bill as not being good, he can advocate for that. And even through, you know, us, we are a member.
Yeah.
So we have an obligation too.
Yeah, the staff that are employed by OEB are not allowed to have an opinion one way or another.
Right.
And so the executive director of OEB actually testified, but she wasn't allowed to say, I don't like it because. She could just say, this is how it would affect.
I have a question. Is this the one, is OEB, the city about 2 years ago, they said, oh, we need to get on this because jump in the water, fine. And I raised my hand and said, are you kidding me? Portland's is probably the worst as far as the track record goes. And they want the more the merrier. So they went around to all the cities and everything and said, yeah, we're all on this thing. You come in, we're going to be able to help you out and everything else. And if that's true, now they're getting ready to bail because they're getting a better deal somewhere else and leaving everybody else holding the bag on their bad. They have a track record of using and abusing,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to jump in there so that everybody's on board and they're going to pull.
So this is something different than that. This was a bill that was put in place 12 or 13 years ago in order to save money in school districts, because originally it was just a school district thing. And most of the school districts in the state...
This is not like the city of Grand Pass is strictly school districts.
Mm-hmm. Originally it was school districts, and then they added community colleges, and then 3 years ago, legislation was put in to allow local government to join.
That's the one I've been for 100 bucks.
But Portland never joined. The city of Portland, city of GP isn't in it. They never joined.
Okay.
The only local governments, there's a handful of special districts, and then there's two counties. There's us and Klamath County are in it. So it's still only a handful of local governments. There's, I believe, 8 or 9 local governments that are part of OWEP.
And is this one of those that once you join the pool, you can't pull out?
You have one opportunity to pull out, but then once you're out, you're out. Because the whole purpose of OWEP is to have stability in the pool. And the board asked the staff in OWEP to look at a comparison of the rate increases in OWEP versus the state average, and they've outdistanced the state every single year for the last 10 years. Because
if the purpose of OWEP is to stabilize the pool, then why in the world, I guess that's why they're asking for Senate Bill 387.
Yeah.
To unstabilize the pool.
Well, it would potentially benefit the few districts that want this to happen, but it would be at the expense of everyone else. So what I'm asking the board to consider doing is sign a letter of opposition. I've already drafted one. Not that you have to. Actually, I think I copied the wrong thing. I think I copied an old one. But I'll get you a copy of what I drafted. This is actually what I used. I used an old template. But it basically states we're opposed to it because it's going to cost Josephine County a bunch of money potentially, and it potentially will cost tens of millions of dollars around the state to all the school districts that aren't allowed to join and leave whenever they want. So overall, I think from a statewide governmental standpoint, fiscally the bill doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then personally, it would cost our county, which we're very cognizant of our costs. It would cost us potentially $300,000 a year.
I think a letter is appropriate. Of course, I'd want to see what it is.
Yeah.
I would think the chair would be, is all three of us need to sign it?
That's what I would like.
And what are, have you reached out to Klamath to see if they would?
Their HR director is going to take a similar letter to their board next week. And as it happens, I have a copy of who is on the review panel. Right now it's in the Senate Committee on Education is currently looking
sick. Sorry, it's scheduled. You schedule it out.
No, I put that on last night because I knew
I was just kidding. If you're going to schedule being sick,
yeah.
Keep kicking the can down.
If you look at what time I saved you, it was last night, going, please don't schedule
me. I was like, who? I'm going to be sick this day.
Yeah, no, I just.
You don't sound good.
I didn't have a voice at all yesterday.
Really?
Well, I sounded like a 13-year-old boy going through puberty.
Oh, fuck, that was dumb.
I heard you being sick with a lot of this.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm trying. I think it helps that I take care of my neighbor's dogs. He's been in the hospital over a week, and it's a toxic house. The trash is about this size throughout the house. Anyhow,
okay.
What do you think on a letter?
I think this sounds like a good idea. Let's take a look at it tomorrow, and we'll make it happen then, because I would imagine it's everything throwing down the road. It's
If it's just us in Klamath County, it'll just probably go in the circular file and nobody will even care up there. But
I think every member of OWEP is going to be passionate about it.
I would hope so.
Well, and what's interesting is one of the senators that's on the panel that's currently looking at is Dennis Lithicum. He is from Klamath County.
Oh, he doesn't speak for the counties at all.
Well,
he's got two pieces of legislation that would preclude counties from sending revenue measures, just counties, not everybody else, just counties. We couldn't send revenue measures in anything but general election years. It was just absolutely ridiculous. It's like, so you're not letting in, I mean, everybody else can still do it, but we can't? Because we have so many that pass so often.
It was a very odd language in that bill.
He's a real trip.
There was another letter he just sent out opposing the under 21 tobacco bill.
Mm-hmm.
Basically that we're not allowing adults to be adults and over-regulating, and his commission is very vocally supporting that bill. And so I thought it was interesting that of all the positions
right.
he decided to take, the under 21 tobacco was one that he decided to oppose.
Yeah.
He's really something else.
So well, he's not necessarily in the friend of commissioners.
Not necessarily, but it is. Supposedly, he represents the people
right.
that county encompasses, and then one of the others has part of Josephine County, I believe, as well. However, my position on the board is local government management, and so I'm doing what I can to advocate for local government. And I think the executive head of both the counties that are in the web, how much weight they'll hold, and will it turn the tide? I don't know, but I know that a number of school districts will also begin show their discontent with it.
Okay, we will do that and address it tomorrow.
I will send you all the copy of what I've drafted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We've got calendar copies. Have you already been through it?
Through some, yeah. There is one issue I need to bring up related to calendar. I would propose that we change how we do our quarterly meetings in Cave Junction. And we go to the city council in Grants Pass quarterly and meet with their city council at their council meeting. Why are we not doing that in Cave Junction? I would propose that we actually change to go attend one of their council meetings as their guests once a quarter.
Good outreach.
And that way we're acknowledging. Now I'm looking at the.
So we would just take like the first half hour or something if necessary on their agenda, or. Because that's what they do kind of next door, because then they kick us out and they start doing other business.
Okay. And we could be more conversation with them, but
yeah.
I know that when I reached out to see about changing the time of this upcoming one, their city reporter said, I have great issue with a quorum of my council and a quorum of your commission going, and no one's taking minutes. And
that's why we're going to come to you.
And I said, we can change this format easily. I said, first off, we can break the recorder, make sure minutes can be taken. But second off, why not go across the street and meet at your place instead?
I think it's a great idea.
So, okay.
When did that meeting?
Well, it's the 24th, which is when our meeting's supposed to be. And we have to put out our notifications if we're going to be having our town hall. The concern is, so if we go to the 24th real quick and we look at that. I can't tell if anyone's in town but me. Matter of fact, it looks like I'm the only one in town. So.
Fourth is Monday.
You're in Brookings. You're unavailable.
And that's a Monday, right?
Uh huh.
Yep.
So the rack that I'm on, I'm filling in for a local. No, it's not a local government. It's a state government official. I'm filling in for Herman Berchiger on that seat. And so...
I'm okay with that. I just wanted to bring up that neither of you look like you were going to be there anyhow.
It's a two-day...
So potentially...
we reschedule it?
Well, and...
Or do you want to just go and try your idea out?
Yeah, let me reach out to Ryan and see. Because if they have a quorum, they might have to publicize it. If I'm alone, I don't have to even report it. But then
we could do like a dry run of
bounce that idea off and say, this is what we'd like to do, and this is how we can facilitate.
Yeah, so it's either the second or the fourth Monday of the month that is their city council meeting. So maybe we can just ask that we coordinate, that we get on a calendar with Terry, that we regularly be at one of their meetings.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So going to the next day, if we have that, you're the only one looking like you're available for Cadro. And maybe we're going to change, you did one month, and you do a month. And
I've got some input on the Cadro thing. When I was there by myself, we had more phone calls come in than
we've
had before. He said,
hardly ever getting phone calls before.
I mean, it was when at 10 o'clock hit straight up, the phone started ringing, and we were answering questions all the way through until 10:30.
It's probably because you're nicer than I am.
Well, you can't call your name over the radio. You can, but they'll bleep it out. But it worked out very well, and maybe that kind of frees us up for three of us to go sit there. Whatever you got to know, if you only have one, you know.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I mean, it's going to be the default for you looking like.
Yeah, I don't think
anyway.
We can cancel on Tuesday, so
no,
I think
no.
You can be there. So
yeah. Well, it was one of those deals. You were both out of town. They said, "Well, can you go do this?" And I, yeah, I'll be glad to. And it really worked out well. Chuck's been, this is one of the better ones he's had.
Well, I like the idea that it frees you up to be able to talk about what you would really like to talk about rather than regurgitating whatever is going on. We don't really get a chance to get past that.
Well, on top of that, there were some of the questions. They said, well, what do you have on your plate?
Yeah.
Get you an opportunity to just one-on-one. It's kind of like a one-on-one that you have in your office with somebody.
Kind of makes me feel bad because we do talk about forestry issues a lot, and I do that
on your day.
I do a lot of the talking. Well, with the other two commissioners, you know, that's Commissioner Harris' deal. So, I did feel bad. Like at the end of a half hour, an hour, I did a majority of the talking, just because of the subject matter. But it wouldn't be, you know, you don't have to. I don't have to whatever to somebody, or you wouldn't have to do it to me.
It just worked out well in the one time that I did.
Well, let's give it a shot. I mean, it's going to happen naturally anyway. So let's hold that legal counsel on Tuesday, because I'd sure like to be back for that. I don't want to spend too much time over there.
Tuesday the 25th?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, so the one tomorrow got canceled.
Yeah, they didn't have anything, which is, I kind of find ironic.
He said he had one on topic he could hold.
So, yeah.
So, okay, so legal tomorrow is canceled.
Did you catch that, Wendy?
In the afternoon?
Let's hold on to it. I'll try to be back for it.
At 2?
On the 25th. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock is canceled.
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. But if you go to a week from tomorrow, the 25th, we're still going to do that one.
April 19th is the deadline for signing up for the spring conference for AOC. Called 3C. I think we just all got an email on it.
I think I'm registered.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to go.
Okay.
I think that would be just fine if I didn't have to. I could stay home.
And that's the one that's May 9th, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I know that's not in this two-week schedule, but being that the deadline for signing up... Well, we were going to try not printing it out at all and going through it day by day up on the screen.
Oh, that's fine with me, too.
Either way? Okay. We might try that next time.
On the 25th, I've got unavailable, but I might be back. I may be back.
If you're back on that
That's day. The Tuesday we were talking about, so we might have a full quorum. That'd be great. So we'll hold it, and if it happens, it happens.
Okay. But you also have Josephine Housing Community Development at that same time.
It brings up an issue. On last weekly business session, there was an appointment that was challenging for arriving at a quorum of the board. And I'm not saying which way that was challenging, because I could be in that same position. And so we're going to need to readdress that housing appointment of a former commissioner and whether or not that serves the best interest of both the board and the public. So, the ideal time, I guess, to talk about it would be tomorrow.
Sure.
So we'll propose, I'll get you the proposed order, and so we'll be able to do that, and then if you have any concerns, or if I need to voice any, I can do that at that time. Does that make sense? It's also nice to kind of give you some time to think about how would that be? You're not the liaison, so if that's the challenge or if you have other concerns. So, anything else?
Okay, so just looking, let's see.
Did you make it to your elected official lunch?
Yes.
Good.
There was just four of us there. I should announce that ERC announced that we received our first marijuana payments from our 3% tax. So I was not aware that we opted out of the state collecting for us. So she is our tax collector. So she is collecting that 3%. For 5 months, we collected $9,000.
Nine?
Yes. So we're looking at, for our retail recreational dispensaries, we're looking at about average $2,000 a month or a little less. So we will at some point have to decide what to do with that money. Don't
spend
it all in one place.
Oh,
maybe you will.
I think the question actually specified four areas of where we can. They're pretty broad.
Yeah, public health, public safety. I don't remember the other two. Oh, treatment, substance abuse treatment. I don't remember the other one. But $9,000. Maybe it buy uniforms for reserve deputies.
Is that public knowledge?
Yeah. Anyone can go into the treasurer's office and ask that.
I mean, you know, it might be something, you know, when they come up with these forms that we're doing every night.
You should have a press release.
I think it should be a press release. Regarding the press release I did for the DA's office, what I did is emailed it to Laura Cullen at AOC, say, can you help me with the press release? I haven't heard back, so I need to call her because I sent that last week.
It was the idea of what we're sending the letter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. How's that? Oh, you don't know.
Well, that letter we edited, I had Wally had sent an amended version, and I liked it. There was one little change I had recommended. Was simply adding that the state used to, and it's time again, to pay for these services.
Pay for what?
The prosecutorial services. So the letter looked good to me, and then it was just a matter of, hey, where do we start with the press release? And so I emailed it to Laura. I haven't heard back. So being today's Monday, I will follow up there today.
Anything else on the calendar? I met with the...
I'm gonna try to be back for a legal counsel update tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Okay. No, well, that was canceled.
That's canceled, so we'll
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I've got a met over the weekend with some people down in Santa Ana that came to the car show, and they're very interested in Southern Oregon.
Cool.
And tomorrow we're going to try to do a Wheeler Dealer episode here.
Awesome.
Part of it in my shop, part of it in buying two Austin Healey right next door, and then I stole the Charger, and then we had to rename on the Charger. So
I love Austin Healey.
Just a real quick one on that. So, but it'd be pretty important. It's putting Grants Pass and Gosby County on the map.
In a real positive way.
If it happens, we're
going to
try for
a while. Who's doing the legislative update on Thursday morning?
Okay,
we need to
really
make sure that those are covered, because somebody mentioned that they were doing those for our benefit, which is nice. But it's basically the community's benefit. And I'd really like to see the city included in those. They do have Roiland's.
He's
excellent. He's very...
I do have a meeting from 7 to 8 a.m., but I'll try to leave it early to get here on time.
Okay.
Because
you're out of town.
What day?
You're out of town Thursday?
I'm going to be here Thursday morning.
Okay.
If you want to cover the legislative update call at 8.
At 8, I could probably do that if you're not going to be here.
Well, I have
a meeting
from 7 to 8. So if I don't have to rush back, that'd be nice.
So if I covered it at 8 and you come in a little late or whatever, you're fine.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay. You want me to do that? So that's Thursday morning.
I had a meeting with the Community Wildfire Protection Executive Committee this morning, who reviewed a draft of the Community Wildfire Protection Plan with our contractor. And it's a good draft. There's just some things that are missing that I've been championing for, well, the group has been championing. ODF was right there with me, and so was Jackson County. So we're going to have a good product, but I appreciate this board and Jackson County's board extending the contract deadline from May to the end of June. And I think we've either done that or we're going to do that. They need a little bit more time to get it just right. But it'll be good. I think it's 220 pages right now. This really... that what I read and reviewed in a very high detail was probably closer to about 80 pages and stuff. And it's, you will get it. You will understand it. So, but it's got to say a couple of things that are really important that we want from everybody playing ball and fighting fire in Josephine County. So.
So Thursday, just to give you a heads up, from 11 to 1, we'll have the governor's marijuana policy advisor meeting with some people from Lipstick and just kind of give an update. Julie Schmelzer's being involved.
Good.
And then
I was going to say
1:30, Julie's going on a plane with that policy advisor. We're doing an aerial tour of Josephine County.
Are you in it too?
I'm supposed to be, or driving up north. So the question is it better for the sheriff to go with or me to go with? because I don't think there's room for the sheriff and I. The sheriff had expressed interest. But I don't know if he has time. So it'll either be the sheriff or I and Julie with him. So if you guys want...
Sometimes there's an advocacy element to what I'm seeing in planning that isn't looking at, you know, it's not a judicial review of this like it needs to be closer to, and not looking at it as marijuana processing. Looking at it like it's processing any other thing that we're going to allow there and saying, would that be okay for them? What is the other intent of all of these other elements of retail? Yeah, you can't just have... So
I'm finding it's very easy to get bullied in the marijuana industry, that the marijuana industry is the only one in the room, the only one in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm that kind of person.
Well, and I've met with several folks that have an interest in being on the advisory board, and I don't necessarily think economic development is the only factor. It should be a factor, but I think we kind of just need any cannabis-related stuff that they could address all of it, whether it be planning, economic development, get along with your neighbors, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of...
Yeah, we got a couple emails probably the whole board did on that stuff.
But I'm finding that folks just kind of have their one thing they want to do, and so trying to find a good balance. I have a couple people giving some feedback right now, and I'll probably by the end of the week, or if not next week, bring you back up. This is the recommendation I'm going to make up.
Okay.
I don't know how many of these forum things, and they're and we're getting requests for more and more and more all along.
Yeah.
We've got a really good ad that's going out on the radio. It's to the tune of about $2,200, but I'm going to cover that. And then we've got I want to post a half page ad maybe, or a third page ad in the Daily Courier that actually has a tax statement, not the dollar split up, not the pie chart. They don't get that in the mail. They get the tax statement in the mail. When I've done these I did one Saturday for 3 hours for the Colonial Valley Property Owners Association. They were very interested. When they got to that tax statement, they went, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to really have a problem with taxes, but my house is here, and then we've got a little thing. If your house is $100,000, $150,000, $250,000, $350,000, and it tells how much it's going up. They're real excited. People are really excited about Connie's postcard that's going to go out with your address on it.
Did she tell you those are going in the mail tomorrow or the next day?
Yeah, so those are going to go out. They're excited about the fact sheet. I went to Liberty Watch the other night. I was quite concerned that everybody thought it was going to get ripped up. Didn't happen. I gave mine 20 minutes. Bill Hooker gave me 20 minutes. Then we had a 20-minute Q&A. They didn't ask Bill Hooker any questions at all. They only asked me questions, none whatsoever. And Bill Hooker even said, you know, and I have to admit, he said, you know, Dan Young put together two of these summits, and I was there, and Joe Rice was there, and Mark Kelsey was there. We were all there, and, you know, these are the numbers we all came up with. So he said, I can't dispute these numbers. And I think he's, honest with us, he's not as passionate about it as he used to be.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. We were going to kill them the other night at the round at the Dome School.
Yeah, neat.
Those folks are scared. When I went to Liberty Watch, I told them, you could say we don't need any of this stuff, but, you know, I was at the Dome House at Kilma, and, you know, those people are as grassroots and take care of themselves as anybody on the planet, and they're afraid. They're afraid.
The community's changing. Somebody was asking me about, you know, the Illinois Valley, and I go out to my parents' ranch all the time. We're a little insulated, but it's happening around us. We can hear the sirens going down the Caves Highway, and we're like,
yep.
We used to hear one or two a year.
Yep.
Now it's like Mom and Dad were saying it's a couple times a week.
Yeah.
It's just
crazy. So I think the word is getting out there that, you know, when people yell no new taxes and gee, we don't need the jail beds and so forth. And one of the key points of my thing is, for instance, I was over here to watch. I said, if you think I'm here to tell you to put your guns away and you're going to be safe with this thing, you're absolutely wrong. I'm here to tell you better step up, because all this does is opens the jail and juvenile detention. that we go through the juvenile detention part as we're trying to pull the kids in and give them a place to straighten out before they get to the adult side. I think it's a really good investment at 9 cents. And it's really been a good presentation.
Have you ever equated it to you're paying 8 cents to help animals? We're asking you to pay for 9 cents to help kids get in the right direction.
That's a good point. We've had, like I said, every time I take the folders to them, because I have a half a dozen different things that go into the packet that we pass around there, they always ask if they have extra ones because they're going to take them and give them out. And then the last group, they want just the back seats, and we're going to go deliver these. So it's been pretty exciting. I'm getting more and more pumped as it goes along. And the sheriff did, our sheriff did one, and then we've got one tonight, and I think it's Wednesday.
And it's not the 60 people that show up into that room.
Beg your pardon?
It's not the 60 people or 20 people that show up in that room.
Who do they go talk to?
They do. And a lot of them are retired folks, and that's what they love to do.
Yep. I would recommend you follow up with Mr. Rainey. He came to the weekly business session meeting you missed last week. Mm-hmm. And
said he was still saying no.
He was still wearing a button, but he also said that somebody had told him a rumor that he had said something about him somewhere. And so it might be worth just you following up with him. I should tell you that there was a little bit of discontention at the Lipstick meeting. The question came up about the 185 jail beds. Will the city still be able to hold people like they are right now? And, I said, well, they'll be in a priority. The sheriff and I were answering questions, and I said they'll be held in a prioritization. So right now, county person who steals a car will be released on that felony, but a step three shoplift in the city will be held for 5 days. And I said, now they'll all be in the same thing. It'll be done by prioritization so that you could hear them bulking a little bit. I said, well, look at it this way. With 130 beds they currently have, the city's having their needs met. This is 55 additional beds to serve the county. And, the sheriff said, we will still process everybody at the jail, but they were concerned that people might be released sooner than they are right now. And,
that isn't my expectation. If you've got a bed open and that person for shoplifting needs to sit there for 5 days, we're not going to get 185 is exactly where it needs to be. And my understanding of having written the $1.48 and looked back historically, Hunker's right. There's capacity there to keep everybody at 185 that needs to be kept, to my understanding. And if we get to a point where they're rounding up everybody to such a degree that, we're pushing that 185 on a regular basis, well then, you might have to kick the shoplifter out, because there's obviously 85 other people that are a higher priority, and nobody can argue with that. But are we going to get there in 5 years? Gosh, I hope not. I hope that this detours those people who are passing by and choosing to stick around here. And they're like, nope, they've got more than enough capacity in Josephine County. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't know where else that is, but not here. Somewhere.
I did ask. I was downtown Sunday. Because I walked through town on Sunday, and one of the shops downtown was open. So I pulled my head in the door and asked how his transient population is working out since the mobile cart thing. And he says, I still look across the street by Chapman's and watch drug deals and drinking and smoking pot and everything in that little alleyway between Golden Rule and the other store. He said, I still see that. And I said, well, it's going to take a while. First off, I said, I'm concerned because there's not enough people using the cart yet. They're right out my window. We need to fix that. We really do need to fix that.
There was an email on that today.
Take the benches out.
But that, we really do need to take care of that. But I told him, I said, well, I think that we really need to give that a little bit of a chance. And he said, I'll monitor now that I know somebody's interested. So,
well, it was part of the BR&E survey to the downtown and stuff, and that was kind of a result of it, saying that's what we're
12 empty buildings downtown between the courthouse and M Street. That's not bad.
No.
Compared to what it used to be, there's 12.
Is Brad's considered empty, or?
Matt's, you know, he's got putters in the window, everything's got
okay. Ball. There's not much else to know that I saw 2 weeks ago.
He's got greenery down there.
Does he? Cool. Okay. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow. 11?
9:30.
Can you turn these back in?
I'm not here until 11. I don't care what you say.
It's the city manager.
I'm just kidding.
Mayor one.
Is that what it is?
Yes. All right. We're adjourned at 4:30. Right?
Yeah.